Penn Jillette. This is Penn Jillette, and you're talking to Mike Doe, juggler in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's where we are, talking to everybody else. And some people in Las Vegas.
Talking to everybody in juggling.
Talking to everybody in juggling. All the jugglers we're talking to. Bob, we haven't heard from Jason yet about his five-ball routine. We'll get to that. Let's not open that whole can of bees.
I want to start with that.
It'll happen when it happens. We're going to be talking. Today, we are just pulling out the stops. This is free FM, 100 miles an hour down a dead-end street. Because we're going to... What I want to talk about today, Michael Goodell?
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm going to talk about today.
Yes.
I'm not going to talk about jugglers or crying in movies or anything like that. I want to talk today about abortion and Hitler. Okay? 866-313-FREE.
We don't get any calls.
866-313-FREE. 3733. Have you ever had a thought about abortions or Hitler? This is the show for you. Hitler. We'll talk about Hitler.
We will.
Yeah.
And abortion.
There's a news story about Hitler. I want to talk about Hitler.
Let's talk about it.
Not right now.
You're not in the mood.
No, first I want to talk about crying
in movies. Yeah, you are such a wussy.
I just
crying in movies.
I just said Hitler and abortion to get
you
people
jump
going.
In like we're going to talk about something serious, and then you're going to talk about crying.
South Dakota Governor Mike Rounds signed a bill outlawing almost all abortion as part of his ambitious 2010 initiative. The first goal of which is to double visitor spending. He expects the influx of protesters, attorneys, and reporters over the next decade to do just that.
That'd be great.
You outlaw abortion, boy.
That's good for the local bar association.
Really good for the local bars. People just pour in. You know, protesters got to eat, right?
That's right.
The local bar and grills are going to do great. You know, the Applebee's in South Dakota's.
Denny's.
Through the roof. Sure.
Late night.
You know, yeah, sure. Denny's going to do great in South Dakota. And they, you know, this is the problem. You know, I really love purity. As a matter of fact, a hippie friend of mine. And, you know, you always have to know the number of hippies to have in your life. You want to know how many hippies to have in your life, and sometimes that number is zero.
There's an absolute number.
But right now in my life, the number is two.
Right, sure.
Two hippies in my life that I talk to. And I'm talking to one hippie. I'm taking the libertarian point of view, and he's taking the point of view of we should be France. That's his point of view. We should be France. Why don't we just raise taxes to 10% more and get all the people off the street and everybody happy like in France,
right,
where they have a 35-hour work week and days off and vacations? Why don't we just do that? Why don't we do that? And I go, well, because government is coercion and it'd be better to do charity like this and it's better to do free market. And he goes, you aren't answering the question. Give me facts. Why aren't we France? Okay. But one of the things he argues with me about is that I'm not pragmatic. So he's willing to say, yes, it's wrong to use the government to take money from people, but if it helps people get medical care, it's okay. Pragmatic.
Mm-hmm. Right, sure.
My problem with the pro-abortion people, I don't do this, you know, pro-life, you know,
pro-choice. You're trying to pump them up by saying pro?
I say anti-life, anti-choice.
There you go.
That's the way we deal with it.
Get them both
down. The anti-life people, you know, what bothers me about them is that they have a lack of purity. You know, they don't really know when life begins.
Sure.
It's abortion on demand, but certainly not up to term, you know. So they say life does not begin at conception, but then they don't really say when the hell life does begin. Okay?
Right.
So there's a sloppiness. And although pragmatically, I want to go with the anti-life people, I always have admired the anti-choice people because their position is so pure.
Sure.
Life begins at conception. That's it. Forget about it. That's what it's a human being. It's all about potential. You know,
sure.
Once the egg is fertilized, that could be president of the United States that you could be killing, right? Boom! Starts right then. Now, the answer that I end up feeling better with is Zygmunt Corn Revere, who is a bioethicist, and you don't get smarter than bioethicists.
I guess not.
You do not get smarter than bioethicists. No. Smartest people in the world are bioethicists. Because, you know, that's when you get a legal degree and then go, oh, maybe I'll get a medical degree, too. Have you known anybody that went through medical school?
Yes.
Have you known people who have gone through law school?
Yes.
Imagine someone going through both. I mean, it's just like smashing yourself in the face with a dead rabbit for, like, 20 years.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, you know. or Live Rabbit, even worse.
You can't do it. Probably can't do it concurrently, can you? Probably can't do law and med school at the same time.
No one's that smart.
No one has that much time.
She says to make life symmetrical. So we do brain dead with brain waves, and we can do alive with brain waves. And that comes in about 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
But the problem with the South Dakota guy, and by the way, you can do anything you want in terms of making laws before it gets to the Supreme Court. Like, we could vote in Nevada that slavery was legal, and then as soon as someone, you know, brought a case about not being paid, it goes to the Supreme Court and it gets overturned or whatever. So they can do this. Now, I happen to think, this is going to be a lot. Hold on to your free FMs. Just reach down between your legs, grab your dangling free FMs, and hold on to them, because I'm going to be saying
all of our listeners are male. I believe that's a big assumption.
No, I'm not. So you could reach in deeper.
Well, you said dangling.
Dangling. Okay, you're right. 866-313-3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. I'm going to say some crazy stuff here. I think Roe versus Wade was not the proper constitutional decision. That should be left to the states. I do believe in abortion tourism and travel. I think that the 10th Amendment is more important and that there should be more states' rights. And we should have states where abortion is allowed and states where it isn't. I don't think it's a federal issue. Now, no one agrees with me on this. No, not even you, right?
I agree with you on this.
You do?
I do.
Wow. Enough. When you get a guy in your payroll...
No, I have always agreed with you on this. I believe that your state should have a lot more power than your federal government because it's related to the people in that state.
So South Dakota comes out and says, we're going to be pure, absolutely 100% pure. Mm-hmm. Life begins at conception.
Right.
All other abortions is wrong. We will bust the doctors. You will go to prison. Everything is wrong.
Sure.
You are murdering a human being. Wrong. Life begins at conception. Wrong. Except
in Section 3 of the law.
Where they take all of their power and flush it down the proverbial abortion toilet.
Nothing in Section 2 of this act may be construed to prohibit the sale, use, prescription, administration of a contraceptive measure, drug, or chemical if it is administered prior to the time when a pregnancy could be determined through conventional medical testing.
Five days.
You have 5 days.
You have 5 days.
If
you
kill your baby.
If you are raped, if it is incest, or if you just had a night of fun that you didn't want the consequences of, until it can be determined, you've got 5 days. So all of a sudden, all of the South Dakota governor, all his purity, and that's all he's got going for him, because he's wrong. He couldn't be more wrong if his name was W. Wrongy Wrongenstein. He is wrong, and all he has is this beacon to nuts.
That's right.
It's this nut beacon that says, I'm wrong, but I'm pure. So nuts like Penn Jillette go, okay, there's a purity in this thought, right? He's saying at conception right on, okay, I'm with you. And then Section 3 says, well, except you got 5 days to kill your baby. Yes. At conception, it's a baby. Yes. At conception, it's a human being. Yes. At conception, it could be President of the United States. And you got 5 days to kill him or her. 5 days. It's those 5 days.
You don't have to be that parent thing. You got to give you 3 days a year when you're allowed to kill your kid. You know, he's been bad all year.
Or maybe it's a more of a, you know, a Schrodinger's, it's more of a Schrodinger's cat type of thing.
Right,
you know?
Okay.
If you don't know whether your kid's in the room or not, you can fill that room with toxic gas. As long as you're not sure
you're
whether
not
they're
positive,
in or not.
All right.
Yeah, if you're not sure and you can never know, that could work. So there's the problem in our nut world,
right,
with the South Dakota thing. Everyone else, of course, has a different problem, which is all Americans are in favor of, I mean, the vast majority are in favor of abortion in terms of rape and incest. And but 5 days is the leeway they're giving. And in that 5 days, the law is shown to be cynical and hypocritical. And so even the nuts bail on you then.
That's right.
This is the nuts leaving the sinking ship.
We thought we were going to rally everyone, and then, we're going to rally almost everyone.
Yeah, it all falls
apart. Maybe no one will rally.
It all falls apart. But no one, by the way, I don't know if you've ever been to South Dakota?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think I've been everywhere, but I don't remember South Dakota.
I was in the circus. I went everywhere.
Yeah, and I was on the road. You know, I did carny stuff. We were everywhere. But South Dakota, by the way, doctors don't give abortions. There's already abortion tourism.
Right.
They all go across some border somewhere because, first of all, there are no people in South Dakota. So there are no people in South Dakota. You don't have abortions. 866-313-FREE, 3733. What did I promise at the beginning of this show, Michael Goudeau? I promised
that was
two
a long
things,
time ago.
Michael Goudeau.
One of them was Hitler.
One of them was Hitler, yes!
You were going to talk Hitler. About Hitler today.
There's a guy, a high school student. Can I have the
You may have
paper?
It, yes.
Yeah, high school student. What's his
hands.
Name? He's a great-looking guy. Jay Benish. Okay?
He looks like the bad guy in all the Bruce Willis movies,
he does.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does. He's kind of got.
You're not going to cry in this
he's
article,
got a
are you?
Very, very. Yeah, I might cry. He's got a very high forehead, and then that kind of rocky horror,
right,
stringy hair,
stringy
and he
blonde.
Also looks very, very young. Right. He's the teacher. He just got suspended. Okay,
yep.
He got suspended for comparing. Suspended as a teacher. He's a teacher. He gets suspended for comparing George W. Bush to Hitler. Now, first of all, anyone who compares anyone to Hitler is just a bad teacher, a bad writer, You've lost your mind. Because it's such an obvious thing to do. I mean, to compare people to Hitler is to, like, be Goering. To compare people
play
to Hitler.
The Hitler card.
Play the Hitler card. I mean, it's like, but what about Hitler? But I mean, Hitler said that Hitler thought he was right, too. You know what I mean? Okay. I always play the Hitler card in arguments, but I change it to Charlie Manson.
No, okay.
Nobody notices that I'm playing the Hitler card.
That's very clever.
866-313-FREE, 3733. So this guy, Jay, compared Bush to Hitler.
In a class.
Yeah, sure. In a class. He's teaching a geography.
And a 16-year-old kid teaching geography?
He's teaching geography. He's okay. A geography teacher.
Well, maybe there is some similarity.
And Mr. Benish called
geology that we don't know.
The U.S. probably the single most violent nation on Earth, saying it had committed more than 7,000 terrorist sabotage acts against Cuba, but he told pupils, they were free to disagree with them. Yeah, geography teacher in Colorado.
Geography teacher in Colorado.
Yeah, Sean Allen. For the geography teacher in Colorado should just be teaching people where Colorado is. It's hard enough. See, for me, if a state isn't on the coast, I don't know where the hell it is. Sean Allen, 16, who attends the suburban high school outside of Denver, has made headlines across the country and gotten
He's secretly taped his teacher.
He's secretly
a micro cassette recorder.
His teacher. Now, everybody that saw one
He's
movie...
A spy.
Last year, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
By taping his teacher. Now, everybody that saw George Clooney's movie, Good Night, Good Luck, all of a sudden they're an expert on blacklisting in the 50s. So all of a sudden, this teacher, like a whack job, compares George Bush to Hitler, and then the other side, like the same side, I guess, like a whack job, compares this kid who's taping his teacher to McCarthy. Because this kid has all the power of the Un-American Activities Committee.
Supreme Court behind
him. Everybody goes wacky. And they were giving a $100 reward to Horowitz, you know, that guy who used to be a real radical and is now conservative.
Right.
He was giving $100 to people who taped, students who taped their...
Yeah, University of California at Los Angeles caused an outroar by offering $100 bounty for taped evidence of professors' radical rants.
Now, what I don't understand is why is it wrong to record something someone says in class? I mean, aren't you supposed to be
standard? Isn't it?
Aren't you supposed to be taking notes anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, aren't you supposed to say, okay, Bush equals Hitler? You write that down, highlight it because it might be on the test. Okay, it's your geography test right now. Where is Sri Lanka? What is the major produce that comes out of Australia? And George Bush was most like A, his dad, B, Hitler. Would you please end those in now? You'd want to have your yellow highlighter ready. What I'm saying is, why is it wrong? If what he's saying in class is true and part of good teaching, why can't you record it? Why can't you put it up? I mean, we do a show at the Rio. No one's going to come out and say, you know, we secretly recorded Penn and Teller, and you know, they're doing the bullet catch in their show. If that's what you're teaching at school, then you should be proud of it. Let's take a phone call, okay?
You want to take a phone call?
Yeah, I want to take line six, Conan.
Okay, let's take line six.
I feel like talking Conan. To people. It's abortion and Hitler Day! what are you going to say, man?
There's Conan. Hi, Conan.
You there, boss?
Oh, yeah, I am. Hey.
Okay, cool. Then talk to us, man.
Hey, I wanted to point out something to you. The are you familiar with the term zygote and blastocyst?
Okay. Sure I am, because our first baby was IVF, so we
IVF
know that
experts.
Stuff real well. We really
expert. Okay.
I gave my wife the shot herself.
Now look up the word parasite. You'll find that it describes both the zygote and blastocyst.
Exactly, yes. Well, the truth is that for the entire 9 months that a mother is carrying her baby, it is a fight. It is a biological fight with the baby trying to kill the mother and the mother trying to kill the baby. It just is a parasite. And by any definition, except the one that says it has to be a different species, it's taking nutrition from the mother. It's ripping them apart. It's really, so what's your point? How does that go from there?
Well, I would say that it's not really a human being until it's actually able to live on its own, or at least be able to breathe on its own.
Yes,
I would say that it's actually let's go back to the word conception, the base word being the concept. So it's not really a human being. We just have a concept of.
Well,
a human
no, you're
being,
doing
an
a, you're doing a. Then you're just doing an etymological argument that's kind of silly. I mean, it's not that the word conception in both of those senses is the same word. It's not just a concept. There actually is a...
We're looking for a science answer.
Yeah, that's not a science answer. That's not a
grammar. It's not semantics.
Yes.
It's really a question of when is it actually a person.
But the point is, as science makes... makes viability go earlier and earlier. You know, I mean, I have good friends in my life that have given birth to babies at, you know, 28 weeks that, with a lot of help from modern medicine, can grow up to be healthy kids. So viability just keeps getting pushed earlier and earlier, and is going to continue in that direction. And also, if you talk about living on its own, my daughter Moxie at 9 months, she's not good at driving. She can't get to a supermarket.
Not doing any shopping.
Yeah, I mean the only thing she can do to keep her alive is be cute, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, when would you say is the time when human life begins?
Well, I would say that actually they're not actually a live human being until they're actually born and breathing.
Until they're born and breathing. What about a preemie who's on life support? What do you say about that?
Well, I got no problem with actually trying to keep the infant alive at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with actually trying to use medicine to help promote life, but I don't think that we should be using religion as an argument as to when life begins or when it's actually to be considered a human being.
His argument is better than I thought when he first started. It really is, because he's saying, of course, you can keep the preemie alive if you want to, but you shouldn't be forced by law to have to. Isn't that your point, really?
Yes, exactly.
But my problem is that whole idea of viability, but you think that a baby who is born healthy at that point is a human being, full-term baby.
It should be considered a live human being, yes, with all the rights granted to a normal human being.
So do you have a number of weeks for this date for abortion to be allowed?
No, actually I don't. I would say that would be something that should be considered via the medical community, because they have more information than I do as to what would be considered safe or what risks are inherent at different times of the pregnancy. That information I don't have, so I can't actually give you a number.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Conan. I'm going to go to a break now. You know, we have the best callers in the world. We have callers that call up with really like rationed arguments, and when you ask them, you know, them, what should we do? We get the answer, I don't know, really often. This is Free FM, where we don't know anything except we're talking Hitler and abortion. More Hitler, more abortion. But I just want to throw out one news thing in here. Responding to criticism that she has too much anger to be elected president, Hillary Clinton said that such attacks were gender-based. Republican National Committee Chairman Ken Millman dismissed Clinton's remarks, saying it's just that time of the congressional cycle. Calendar. Whatever.
You messed up that joke, didn't you?
What's that?
Robbie must want you dead.
Yeah, I just remember the joke, yeah.
He sends you five fine jokes every day,
fine,
and you kill,
fine joke.
You killed two out of the five.
I didn't kill two. I did a fine job on the first one,
okay.
Didn't I?
Hey, let's take a call.
Yeah, let's take a call.
Let's talk to Molly. Molly is on line 10.
Hey, Molly.
Hi. I just wanted to talk to you about when you were talking about the bioethicists and the brainwaves.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to mention that when you're a 3 or 4 week old fetus, you might have brainwaves, but they're actually the same kind of brainwaves that you'd have if you were a brain dead person like Terry Schiavo. They're random brainwaves. They don't actually start gaining a lot of coherency. They don't kind of gain the patterns that we associate with human thoughts until a lot later in the pregnancy.
When's a lot later?
Like 17 or 18 weeks, I think.
Huh.
17 or 18 weeks.
That's including all first trimester abortions, though.
Uh-huh. What do you mean, including all first trimester?
That covers all of
that
them.
That covers them all.
17
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah, it covers all of them.
Yeah.
So, and I also wanted to say, though, that the people that are passing these laws kind of make more sense if you look at it from a standpoint of punishing women instead of saving babies. The South Dakota State Senator, one of the people who sponsored this bill, when he was asked, what's a real-life example of somebody who could get an exception to this law? And the guy says, and this is a quote, a real-life description to me would be a rape victim, brutally raped and savage. The girl was a virgin. She was deeply religious. She was planning on saving her virginity until she was married. And he says that because of that rape, the girl could be so messed up physically and psychologically that carrying the child could threaten her life. So basically, to this guy, you've got to be raped, but not only raped, you've got to be a religious virgin for it to affect you.
Was the word religious in there?
Yeah, it was.
Where was it? To read it again.
It's in the quote. It says, the girl was a virgin. She was religious. She planned on...
Oh, she was religious. He puts religious right in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't it funny how out of the whole list that you read of appalling things, that's the only thing that pops out to me? Welcome to another episode of Free FM's Limited Perspective. I'm like, oh, virgin, yeah, okay.
Well, and what this guy is doing...
Religious!
So his daughter could still get one if she wanted.
What's that?
Yeah, there
his
you go.
His daughter could still get one. He could say, my daughter was the pure snowflake, the pure flower. And my daughter was deflowered, and now it's going to threaten her life psychologically because she was so pure. So he's got his people covered. He doesn't have to care about anybody else.
It certainly, well, you know, it does. I don't know if he's doing that to, you think he's doing that just to cover his family.
Yeah.
I think it's actually more cynical than that. I think you're giving him a lot more credit than he deserves. I think the reason for saying that is to, I mean, you started with a wonderful premise that he's clearly punishing women with this and punishing women for really having sex, and then you took it all back by saying it's just to protect his family. It's not. It really is lined up in that whole thing is a description that says if you're not that, there's something
right.
that you should be punished for.
If you're not the pure ideal that they have in mind that a woman should be.
Right.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think you want to keep it general when you make this argument
yeah.
and not go to he's just protecting his family.
Well, that makes sense. And I mean, that's the thing. These people want to make it so that Christian virgins can be protected from this law while making sure that anybody who doesn't fit their conception of what a woman
I don't
is
think I don't think they're trying to do that at all. I think you're being much too generous. I don't think he's trying to say at all that anyone's accepted from this law. He is just saying this is what you would have to be accepted by this law, and this is so rare that we're really punishing all women who have sex.
That's a good point. I mean, how often does it really happen that way?
Yeah, I think he's creating a situation where you can just say, oh, well, anybody who isn't a virgin, anybody who isn't religious, anybody who wasn't beaten deserves to have that choice taken away from them.
Well, and I know you were talking about supporting abortion tourism and stuff, but I also wanted to know what you thought about the decision in Griswold versus Connecticut. This was the decision that allowed married couples to use contraception.
Yeah, I don't think any of that. My issue is not at all with the sex issues or contraception or abortion. My issue is with states' rights, which after the Civil War and even more so after that just went to pieces. I really think that the United States should be a collection of states that have very different feelings. And the idea of trying to pull it all together into a federal thing so that one state is so similar to the next, including speed limits, that we don't get a chance to experiment the way I think the Founding Fathers wanted. And also, you get less power. You have much more power over your state than you do federally.
Right,
and I think that states
being different. Democratic laboratories way.
Exactly. That's what I believe. So the issues, yes, in Griswold and in Roe versus Wade, I agree with the ideas behind it, but not that it was done federally.
What would you think of a constitutional amendment that would actually give the right to privacy?
I don't think that's right at all. I think that, if anything, I would like to see I think that you just do the minimum you can possibly do. And I think that privacy is such a broad category. I don't know what your wording on that would be.
Right.
Now, you could argue, of course, that freedom of speech and the right to bear arms and so on. But even when it's said really clearly, like the right to bear arms, they start taking that away, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that putting in more language that is by definition sloppy, I think that being able to do it state by state seems like a really good, you know, democratic laboratory. I like that idea.
After a while, I think most states would end up allowing birth control, allowing abortions, because they wouldn't like the result if they outlawed it. But, you know, there's a lot of real people that are getting caught in that gap there.
Yeah, there's a lot of real people that are getting caught in that gap there. But when you decide to let the Supreme Court legislate from the bench and make the decision that they made in Roe versus Wade, which I believe every Supreme Court justice knew this was not a constitutional federal issue,
right,
but they decided in order to make the country stick together so it wouldn't be ripping the country apart, they would take a pragmatic solution. So what you're talking to now, Molly, is you're talking to a complete and utter whack job who always puts idealism ahead of pragmatism.
I
always put idealism ahead of pragmatism. And, you know, now you're in the same category as my two hippie friends who say, well, of course no one should be coerced into giving money, but shouldn't we put a gun to Exxon's head and make him get the homeless off the street? You know, it's that kind of thing. And, yes, I think that it is a woman's issue, and I think that I would just like to see that battle fought at a state level instead of a federal level.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having
me. Thanks.
So
also, I want to just add to this, though. The brainwaves thing, you were only correcting me on the number of weeks. You were not correcting me on the symmetry. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not correcting you on the symmetry. Yeah. And I can understand why people would consider viability or even the ability to feel pain as a possible. Now, I don't particularly agree with that necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But
what is your point,
at least,
then?
I can at least see where the argument would be made, but I just wanted to correct you that if you're going to make that argument, it's probably better.
Sure.
You know, we would consider a person that had those kinds of brainwaves that a fetus has at 3 or 4 weeks,
mm-hmm,
we would consider them somebody like Terry Schiavo.
Right, right. I see that. But what we promise you here on the Penn Jillette Show is you're always going to get false information. So we put that little piece of false information in because only the Muslim God is perfect. So in order to not offend Allah, we put one mistake in
every
point we make. We just drop a stitch just so they know. But the symmetry. Now, you said you would consider viability, you consider feeling pain, you would consider brainwaves, but it's not what you think. What do you think?
Well, for one thing, there's not many people that realize how few abortions are done later in the pregnancy that are past viability. You know, there's just not that many performed in the country, and when they are, it's generally to either protect the life or the fertility of the mother.
But there you go with your pragmatism again. I want to know when the line is that you can no longer scrape it.
I don't think that there's a line until it's born if it's going to cause enough damage to the mother. You know,
oh, so you think it's all in a case by case?
And the fetus is going to die anyway. I don't think there's a line.
Right, but that's different. If the fetus is going to die anyway and the mother's going to die,
all of these third trimester abortions are actually done.
But what I'm saying, you're talking pragmatism again. I'm going to back you against the wall and make you answer. When is the time that just for recreation, just for fun, just for kicks, no other circumstances, you can knock on the door of the doctor in Molly World and say, give me an abortion? What is that time and why?
Well, I'm the hippie radical who actually put instructions on performing a first trimester abortion on her blog. And I believe
say first trimester
should be available until the ninth month, as long as a doctor will agree to perform it.
As long as a doctor should agree to...
Well, in the last few months, doctors won't, because it is actually more dangerous to the mother than giving birth.
Okay, so you're saying that it is all entirely the health of the mother, and there's no consideration for the fetus whatsoever until the fetus is actual cooing baby.
I think the right of the born, even the smallest right of somebody who's already been born, trumps the biggest right of somebody who hasn't.
That is a very clear position. Do you want to say where your blog is?
My blog is mollysavestheday.blogspot.com.
he laughed Sorry. Over you. Nice. Say it again.
MollySavesTheDay.blogspot.com.
Okay, I think everybody's got that. Thank you very much, Molly. That was perfectly spoken.
Thank you.
Perfectly spoken.
Bye.
The only thing I could ask better is if there had been, like, two more jokes in what she said. Other than that, it was perfect. Free FM. 866-313-FREE-3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. You know, this is Penn Jillette, Mike Udone. We're here to learn. That's what we're talking about. Hitler and abortion on Free FM, 866-313-FREE-3733. You know how happy Jack is?
He's
like dancing
He's
around.
In a good mood.
Hitler and abortion just thrills
him. It's only two times.
When I was talking about crying at movies, he was like, But Hitler and abortion, that's got teeth. Let's take a call. We got every call in the world, right? So it's okay. It's Godot's choice. It's Godot's choice.
13. Let's talk to Mike on 13 because his name's Mike.
Hey, Mike. What's up, man? It's Penn.
I listened to the tape of the high school teacher in Colorado, and I had a really hard time getting through it. I couldn't see if the geography came in or anything like that. He just completely ranted, especially when he got to the part about the country of Colombia being justified in bombing the tobacco fields of North Carolina because of our war on cocaine or whatever. But strictly for the interest of science, I did a big bong and listened to the tape again, and it made... by the end, Bush indeed is Hitler and America is the Third Reich.
Wow.
Is this tape available?
Yes, it is. I got Yahoo News, I believe, back when it first came out.
Okay.
Well, cool.
We'll have to
dig up that whole tape. Thanks a lot, Mike. Thanks so much.
So maybe that was his plan. Maybe that was the teacher's plan.
Have the kids do bong hits.
With bong hits.
Maybe he wanted to show them how bad dope was.
It could be an anti-drug message.
I want to make sure that my point on this is very, very clear.
Okay.
I'm not saying the teacher should be fired.
Right.
I'm just saying that what he does in class, it is okay for the people who are paying for the education
to talk about it.
Sure, you can talk about what he says in class, and maybe the people want to make arguments that comparing Bush to Hitler is a good part of a geography class, or gets kids interested, or wakes them up. They can make that argument, but what's part?
They both look a little like Italy.
Where is the teacher-student confidentiality?
I don't think there is one.
I mean, are the kids supposed to go in and not rat out their teacher? The teacher can say anything they want? I mean, I really wish.
I had a pro-apartheid teacher when I was in school.
Did you?
I really did. In a music class, of all things. I wonder why I didn't continue with the band.
You had a music teacher who was pro-apartheid?
Yeah,
What was she? What would she say?
She just said, if you look at it logically, was her present.
Yeah.
felt that black people were not equal, then they should have separate places.
Now, just so you know.
Yeah.
Almost anyone who says, if you look at it logically, is a nut.
You think that's the clue?
That's a big, big nut. There's a few cues to being a nut.
Okay.
Cutting your own hair. One of the biggest cues.
Right.
The other big clue that you, when
number
you start,
number of cats.
If you're a woman, or, right. I guess there must be men.
There are men.
I would like to know men who have more than five cats. I've never even heard of a man that has more than five cats. Is that strictly a gender thing?
I don't know.
It must be. Men.
I wouldn't think so.
If a man calls in with more than five cats, that would be a wonderful thing. We would have really done some science then on this show. But the other thing that really points to someone being crazy is I see it all clearly now.
Oh.
I see it all clear. In Taxi Driver, when Travis Bickle says, it's all clear to me now,
right. That's
when you know he's turned around the band. And every once in a while, I have a flash where things are very, very clear to me.
Right.
And I know that that's a flash of insanity.
Okay.
It just comes flooding over me. Michael Goudeau's choice, spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel. Let's see. How about... let's go with line number five.
Line number five.
Steve on line five.
Steve on line five.
What's up?
Penn Fraser Gillette here, Steve. What's going on?
Not so much. How you doing?
Doing very well, thank you, sir.
I wanted to comment on the abortion issue here.
Sure.
You know, you have to realize, taking into consideration the younger girls who are maybe 16, 18, whatever the age they choose to be, and this happens to them. Now, if they want to have an abortion, the last people they're probably going to go to will be their parents.
Uh-huh.
And chances are, I can't see him driving over the border to have an abortion. I mean, it's just going to be, it might bring an increase in illegal abortions.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what Molly was talking about, putting directions for abortions on her website. I don't think you can get, that is taking bathroom surgery to a whole new level. doing it yourself is going to be very, very, very dangerous. And as I said before, you have to remember, this is Penn Jillette on Free FM. When you dial that number, 866-313-FREE, you are talking to a nut. You understand that? You are talking to a nut. Write that on a piece of paper, hold it in front of you that says, I am talking to a nut. My point is, of course, it would be bad for people. Of course, young girls aren't going to drive across the border. Of course, the idea of states' rights almost ripped apart our entire country during the Civil War. Of course, people fought and died for that. But Penn Jillette says, wouldn't it be cool if states were more different? That's the kind of whack job you're talking to. Is that sinking in now?
I understand.
It's all clear to me now. It's all clear to me now.
Stop.
Oh, sorry.
How many cats do you have, man?
So thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks for calling.
No,
I kind of dazzled him by telling him the truth.
That always throws people off, doesn't it?
I'm so aware in all these discussions that. That I'm a nut. And the definition of nut in this case is I see things really idealistically. I believe that people are very, very good, and the more freedom you give people, the better. And it seems like everybody around me is very frightened by other people. I believe if you walk into any store in the United States of America and take your car keys and toss them to the first person you see and say, my BMW's parked out there in an illegal zone. My wife is really sick. I have to run to the phone. Would you move my BMW and park it, please? I believe that the overwhelming majority of times, the person you throw those keys to is going to take the keys, go out, get in your car, park it safely, and come back in and wait for you to come out.
I have to agree with you. On the other hand, if they ask you, can I hold your car keys? I think you have a different story.
That's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing. And that's the basic carny rule.
Sure.
Never play another man's game. And I believe in terms of politics, all of my politics can be summed up. This is probably the end of the radio show. Because once I've said this next sentence, everything else follows directly from it. Everybody can play the
I would like to point out that your producer, Jack, just looked at the clock to figure out if you were talking about actually the end of the radio show.
No. I'm talking about the end of the radio career. Once I say this sentence, you can figure out everything else I'm going to say for as long as Free FM would want to have me on, which might be another 6 or 7 minutes. Let those who ride decide. That's it.
Thank you. Good night. Thanks for coming.
If I ran for president, that would be my
point. That would
be it? Let those who ride decide. I think what the bikers say about helmet laws is true for everything.
Huh.
Let everybody decide stuff on their own. The more freedom, the better you got. That's what I say. That's it. So I gave what was promised. Hitler and abortion. And on both of those things, Hitler and abortion, let those who ride decide. I think that's all Molly was saying. Let those who ride decide.
Right.
If you're the mother, you have to make the decision. And I think that's all we're saying about the Hitler teacher. Let those who ride decide. People are paying for what this guy says in class. It's okay to tape him. It's okay to go, you know, maybe this isn't what geography is all about. Maybe you should be explaining to people where Colorado is, because Pendulet, for one, does not know. Maybe you explain that to him.
If you were a snowboarder, you would know.
I've been
to Colorado.
See,
I could get in the car and drive to Colorado without a map.
I have been to Egypt.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where Egypt is.
Okay.
I have been to Beijing.
Well, you couldn't get in the car and drive there, so that doesn't help much.
I have been to Wuchao.
Yeah?
Wuchao.
Wuchao?
In China. I've been to Wuchao, a town called Wuchao. The name is Wuchao?
No.
I remember because Bert Bramblett, who works for us, used to be singing, Woo, Wuchao, things are going to get easier.
But, you know, that's funny because I worked in Taiwan doing my little juggling show, and I stayed in room 511, and the way I remember the number was OOEE, which is the same as that song by the Chipmunks.
The witch doctor song. The original version was not by the Chipmunks.
Well,
the original version was by the man who created the Chipmunks, who worked under the name of
Dave Seville,
but whose real name was Ross Bagdasarian, one of our great Armenian composers. Ross Bagdasarian, who was the brains behind the Chipmunks.
You sure he wasn't some Taiwanese guy with a hotel room?
He sure wasn't. Nope. Ross Bagdasarian. And the most important thing about Ross Bagdasarian is in Rear Window, the Hitchcock movie.
Yeah.
The guy who's playing jazz with the jazz trio over behind Raymond Burr there.
That's Dave Seville?
It's Dave Seville. Ross Bagdasarian.
Wow.
The Ross Bagdasarian trio. And, you know, Armenians and jazz, I think I've just done the whole list. Ross Bagdasarian, who made his millions on the Chipmunks. Anything else you need to know about Taiwan? Want to take another call?
Sure you can, but we have a Gmail here that says that Hitler had a unique view on the pro-life, pro-choice argument.
Hitler also had one nut.
He
had one nut in his sack. Just one nut in the sack.
A lot of people wrote that in.
A lot of people write in. When any discussion goes to Hitler, I think one nut in a sack is the first thing you got to say.
You think that informs all other discussions?
I think you want to say Adolf, one nut in a sack, Hitler. And maybe this Colorado, wherever that is, geography teacher, maybe his information was that Bush has one nut in a sack. We don't need any information about that. Somebody must know that.
Hitler decided self-abortion in the 240th trimester.
Is that what someone wrote
in? That's what someone wrote in, yes.
The 240th?
That's Keith.
Is that math right?
I believe it is.
240?
Well, he had done it wrong originally and then sent a second email to correct it.
Okay. That's a guy who listens to the show. He knows that on this show, you're supposed to always get it wrong and then try to correct it a little later. I want to talk quickly about the prisoner with the magic books.
Okay.
Because this is really funny, because this shows that people believe that magicians have real magical powers. Lay that story on us, Mr. Gudo.
Prison authorities told convicted murderer Sean Tully he was not allowed to buy the conjuring guides on grounds of operational security problems. He told the man he's not allowed to purchase magic books because he might be able... magicians do have skills which enable them to deceive, but this is only an environment in which controlled by the
magicians. Okay, that's what the magician's saying, right?
Yeah.
Here's what's so funny. You know, Jim Steinmeier is a magic builder. He's built a lot of stuff for us. And more importantly, he's built stuff for David Copperfield, you know, a real magician. And Jim Steinmeier wrote a book called Hiding the Elephant.
Right.
It's a great book on how magic is done conceptually. It's a really nice history book. It's a fun book. It's a really good read. But Jim Steinmeier has always said that magicians were guarding an empty safe. That the big secret magicians had was that there were no secrets.
Right.
You can take every single secret that Teller and I know, every one that that Chris Angel was saying this when he was on our show. You can say it over and over again. There are no secrets. If you hire us, if you're like a big corporation and you come in and say, can you make our Ford car disappear for a commercial or for a corporate thing, and we take your money, you know, it's not like we go into a room and go, okay, let's look up invisibility of cars, you know. It's not like we have some sort of physics stuff. We do it the exact same way you would. We know a little bit more more about fooling people, that's all. If you're in prison, there is no magic book that's going to help you get out. It's going to help you be able to say to the guard, if you can get a deck of cards, you pick the seven of diamonds. It's not going to help. There are no secrets in magic.
If I predict your card, will you give me the keys? See? You see where you're wrong? You were just wrong again.
Wrong. W-wrong-y-wrong-enstein. If I tell you what card you're thinking of, will you give me the keys to my cell? That's the question on Free FM. Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau telling you we love you all and we're really doing our best.